Is there a part of the U.S. where some say there are remnants of the dialect of the original English settlers? The internet says it's true. Hey! Welcome to The Internet Says It's True, a show where every week we learn something that sounds made up but is really true, part of the WCBE podcast experience. My name is Michael Kent. Welcome back. This week, I am on vacation down at the beach, but I brought my mobile recording stuff with me, so I'm recording this from the coast where our story actually takes place. And I'm here with my wife, so she'll be my guest later in the episode. We've got our three dogs with us too, so there's a chance they may make an appearance as well. If you haven't checked it out yet, you can join this show's Patreon page for as little as $1 a month. For that, you get access to episodes early, ad-free, and with video of our guest interviews. But not this week. We're on vacation and we are not camera ready. You can do that at patreon.com/MichaelKent. Or, you know, if you just want to say, hey, I like this podcast, I listen every week, and I want to give back, you can do that, and it is greatly, greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to check out the merch on the website. We've now got t-shirts and mugs. You can find those at theinternetsaysitstrue.com. I had a great time last week on our 100th episode. Excited for the future of the show. There's some saying out there that if you make it to 100 episodes, you'll keep going as a podcaster, because most podcasts fall short of that benchmark. So I'm going to keep chugging along as well as I can, which is going to become tough this fall. When I start hitting the road again, I've got some tour dates on the books in Texas, Pennsylvania, New York, Iowa, kind of all over the place. I'll do my best to keep up with the pod while I do those. And there may be some more of these mobile episodes in your future. And of course, I'll be writing episodes on board airplanes. That'll be fun. This week's topic is all about people out here on the East Coast.
Hey, Michael, this is Sasha. I was wondering if you've ever heard of the unique dialect spoken on Tangier Island in the U.S. Some people say it's a relic of Elizabethan English. Thought you could look into that.
I have heard about this, but it's been a while, so I did a lot of research, and I found out there are several places where this is true, all near one another out on the East Coast. Chesapeake Bay is the largest estuary in the U.S., running from Norfolk, Virginia, up through Maryland, and almost all the way to Wilmington, Delaware. And what many people may not realize is that it used to be full of islands that are now lost to history. Subsidence, climate change, rising waters, and erosion have taken islands that used to house fishing communities and turned them into uninhabited marshland. Holland Island, Smith's Island, Shanks's Island, and several more are now nothing but marshes littered with remnants. Remnants of tombstones, of houses, fishing piers, and boat docks. And in a way, remnants are what this episode is about. Remnants of language. The Chesapeake Bay is also home to several extremely isolated communities. When a community becomes isolated, that's how a dialect forms. The more people mix with each other, the more congruent their speaking patterns become. So these communities we're talking about today have developed to have their own distinct dialect. And we'll talk about where that comes from. But the claim by some is that this is the closest living dialect to Elizabethan English from the 1600s. Before we talk about that, let me just say that isolated communities with their own dialects aren't specific to the Chesapeake Bay. Of course, anyone who's visited Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston, or New York knows that some cities just have their own accent. Even where I live here in Ohio, you can sometimes tell when someone is from Cleveland versus Columbus. Clevelanders have a twinge of that Chicago, Minnesota, lake accent, whereas Columbus, for whatever reason, is considered an accent-neutral city. There's a place out in Northern California called Boonville that, instead of its own dialect, developed its own collection of sayings and phrases that are still used by some older Boonville residents today. They call it Boontling. And to the most seasoned English speaker, it can sound a lot like a foreign language.
We had the beechen tree and put it on him and climb aboard, and then we're cloppity-cloppity down the drapeway, just a slim. And wouldn't you know, there's a big old blue tail right in the track. The milk hit in the bucket, chill, churl, chill, churl, chill, churl, that's milking the cow.
Again, Boonville developed this regional jargon because it was an isolated community where farmers, loggers, and ranchers just kept to themselves within the town. Today, fewer than 100 people still know Boontling. The islands of the Chesapeake Bay are the same. Tangier Island, Virginia, is in the center of the bay. It has a population of about 700 residents. It used to be a retreat for the Poconoke Indians. It was quote-unquote discovered by John Smith in 1608, but the first permanent resident was John Crockett in the late 17th century. To this day, many residents still have the surname Crockett. It was used as a military staging area by British ships. In 1814, they left from Tangier Island to attack Washington and Baltimore, and we know about that battle because it was then that Francis Scott Key wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. In the 1900s, the population rose to about 1,000 people. It was briefly used for missile testing by the U.S. government in the 60s, but has mostly existed as a fishing community. They rely on crabbing and oysters to make a living, and Tangier is called the soft-shell crab capital of the world. There is no road leading to Tangier Island. There's a small airport, but other than that, it's only accessible by boat. There are hardly any cars on the island, and it doesn't even get cell service. Linguists believe this is the reason that the community has developed its own dialect. People say it's a remnant of the dialect of the settlers that founded it in the very beginning. To my ear, personally, I don't hear that as much. It sounds like a typical rural southern drawl to me, but there are these occasional words that slip in that sound somewhat British. Let's listen to a little bit of Tangier Island.
There are about all of us that were born here on this island. We can say that our parents were born here, and our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, and our great-great-grandparents, and right on down.
What amazes me is that I can be most anywhere. I can be in the mall in Salisbury, Maryland, for example, and I can hear Tangierman talking in the crowd, and I can immediately tell, hey, they're from home, you know.
It used to be like Claude and them said, you could follow the crabs right on down. Now they don't do that no more. I think they get on top of the water and swim when they get ready to live.
You can hear it in the words like crowd and down. It almost sounds like what we would associate with Irish pronunciations of those words. But like in Bootling out in California, some people with a dialect have it so thick that you can't really tell what they're saying.
You swim over top of the pods instead of in them.
Anal pods, sir, where they're at.
Where they at?
Just outside of the anal pods, sir. They ain't cutting in all further, that crowd going out.
If we're talking among ourselves, we might fall in to the pattern of years ago and use words that you're not used to.
Just north of Tangier Island is the larger Smith Island, which is just over the line into Maryland. While the island is larger, the population of Smith Island is much smaller, only 200. And predictably, they have an accent almost identical to those of Tangier. It's the same dialect, which some call a relic accent. It's often compared to the accent of the rural West Country of England. Let's listen to a little speech from Smith Island, Maryland.
We'll say that we'll launch a boat instead of launch a boat. We'll say the water's calm instead of calm.
Dunshanks is where my great-great-grandparents used to live. It used to be trees.
The land was probably a mile to a mile and a half out because they had fruit trees and all kinds of shade trees and trees something like a home now.
These accents are sometimes referred to as hoi-toiter, from the way they pronounce high tide, hoi-toit. In addition to these small Chesapeake Bay islands, there's part of the southern Outer Banks of North Carolina where you can hear it as well. It's also known as Ocracoke Brogue.
Hoi toit on the signs away last night, water, fart night, moonshine, no fish. I do, I have a lot of people that think I'm from Australia or Ireland, yeah.
So while the legend and the lore around this distinct dialect is that it's a holdover or a relic from the Elizabethan English spoken by some of the first settlers, modern linguists dispute that fact. I'll tell you more about that after a quick break. Last week, I told you about this company, Alder New York. They're an inclusive skincare line out of Brooklyn, and I gotta say, I'm a believer. I'm not just someone talking about them for ad money. I mean, I am. I am doing that. But they sent me some samples, and I actually love this stuff. It's hard for me to find lotions that I like, but I like this stuff. So I guess you could say they're getting me to alter my skincare routine. I'm sorry, that was bad. It's clean, luxury skincare out of Brooklyn, but it doesn't have to break the bank. I'm telling you right now, they make stuff, you can buy stuff starting at $7.99 from them. They make skincare products with dermatologist-approved ingredients and plant-powered actives, and they've been loved by editors at Vogue magazine, Harper's Bazaar, GQ, Men's Health, and more. Experience the products that Allure calls simple, sleek, and highly effective. Also, because you are listening to this podcast right now, you get 15% off your first order. Go to Alder New York, that's ALDERNewYork.com, and enter promo code INTERNET, all one word. All one word. Why would you separate internet into two words? It's INTERNET, internet. And that'll give you 15% off your first order. It's a great deal. AlderNewYork.com, or you can go the easy route. Use the link in the show notes. Check them out.
Hi, I'm Dan Skinner, host of Prognosis Ohio, a health and healthcare podcast that's a proud part of the WCBE podcast experience. Some people have told me that I should take the show national, focusing on the U.S., but as we head into 2022, I want to tell you that we're keeping the focus right here on Central Ohio and our community, just like WCBE itself. Check out Prognosis Ohio wherever you get your podcasts and listen to episodes at WCBE.org. It's under the podcast experience tab.
So did this accent on remote islands of the Chesapeake Bay preserve the original dialect spoken by the British colonists? It's a good story, and it certainly seems to make sense. Here's a community very near where settlers from England first arrived in the U.S., and they speak with a dialect distinctly different than the rest of the U.S., and occasionally this means pronouncing a word similar to how it would be pronounced in the U.K. And for many years, this was the prevailing theory about how places like Tangier and Smith and Ocracoke got their accent, that these communities were so isolated that their accent was a remnant that was kept. Another theory is that the isolation of these islands caused the residents to develop their own distinct dialect, which neither reflects the dialects of their surrounding states, nor does it have anything to do with the Elizabethan way of speaking. The real answer probably lies somewhere in the middle. According to linguist David Shores, the brogue that is spoke in these remote regions probably began as an English accent in the 1600s, but over time developed inward and changed within the community. It's even added phrases and jargon just like the ones in Boonville, California. For example, if you stink from a hard day of fishing, you, quote, have the meebs, meebs, M-E-E-B-S, meebs. And if it's cold out, they say, Hawkins is here. I don't know why, but that's what they say. And here's a fun one. If you're, quote, selling cakes, it means your fly is down. So try that one. You're selling cakes. These are all just phrases that came about within the community. But then you'll see an occasional example of British influence. For example, they refer to asparagus as spargrass. Now we know that Virginia's English colonists called it sparrowgrass. The dialect in Tangier, Smith, and Ocracoke have these similarities occasionally, but evolved so much they really are their own thing now. The more these places age, the less speakers there are of these accents. It's from a combination of things. Firstly, even remote islands aren't very remote anymore. The world is a much more interconnected place than it used to be. It's the older folks you'll hear speaking with the accent, but not the younger. It's harder in general for families to keep their kids on the island when they grow up. Less and less people want to live in a small fishing community, and they choose to move away to the mainland. And finally, like the dialect itself, the islands of the Chesapeake Bay are disappearing. You can look at Smith Island and Tangier Island on a satellite map, and you immediately see the pattern of erosion that's wasting the land down to nothing. If you look at Holland or Smith's Island, you'll get a dark glimpse into the future of places like Tangier. At its highest point, it's only 4 feet above the water. 9 acres of the land erode into the bay every year. At the current rate of subsidence and erosion, there won't be enough land for anyone to live on Tangier Island in another 20 years. It'll be another story of a place, a way of life, and a unique dialect lost to history. It's time for the part of the podcast where I call a friend, and today I'm not calling anyone because I'm sitting here with my wife, Allison. We are at the beach on vacation recording this. We are not at the literal beach. That would be too windy and not good for recording. We are at a house near the beach recording this. So she's graciously accepted my offer to come on the podcast, play the quiz game, because I didn't want to Zoom someone from down here, and she's already sitting here. She was on once before, probably a year ago. And the show is probably very different, but I've been recording this while she was sleeping, and so she doesn't know what the topic is about. And for this first question, Allison, we're going to play for a joke. So if you get it wrong, you have to tell me a joke, and if you get it right, I'll tell you one. You haven't prepared a joke, but you can look one up on your phone or whatever you want to do. Totally fine with me. Also, we're both suffering from allergies down here. So if you hear either one of us cough.
Sorry, everybody.
that's basically, you know, our apology for that. Here's your question. In the middle of the Chesapeake Bay, there are a couple islands where inhabitants are extremely isolated from the rest of society, which has resulted in which one of these phenomena, which one of these things has been the result? A, no one there has ever had a social security number. B, they speak with an accent that some say is a relic of Elizabethan English. Or C, they have started refusing to vote in political elections. What do you think?
Well, ladies and gents, I think I'm going to go with B.
That was so official. You've addressed the audience.
Yes, I didn't get to say good morning. Hello, everyone.
You're going with B.
Yes, I am.
Now, why do you think that that's the true one?
Big fan of accents.
Right, but you could be a big fan of accents. That doesn't necessarily mean it's true. That's Lemon, the dog you're hearing right now.
Well, husband, it was just my favorite guess.
Okay, no reason.
No reason at all.
Okay, well, you are correct. It is B. There's these two islands in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay, and people there speak with an accent that some people say is a relic of the original English that the people spoke when they settled on those islands. But linguists say that's not true. It's just because they're so isolated, they've sort of developed their own, maybe it started as Elizabethan English, but they've sort of developed their own way of talking, which is crazy. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear what it sounds like?
I do.
Okay.
It used to be like Claude and them said, you could follow the crabs right on down. Now they don't do that no more. I think they get on top of the water and swim when they get ready to live.
Does that sound like Elizabethan English to you at all?
I'm sorry, was that Ringo Starr?
It's, well, you know, they do say that it's from the West Country, like the West part of England, and Ringo would have been from like the Liverpool area, so possibly. But they, to me, it doesn't sound like English, like an English accent. To me, it sounds rural, like a southern or something like that.
It's almost a mix of hillbilly.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there's a little bit of hillbilly, but occasionally you'll hear like down. Occasionally you'll hear like down or crowd or something like that.
It's a very, very distinctive accent.
Yeah, there's nothing that sounds like that. What's that?
Can we go there?
Can we go there? No, thank you. I am good on that. Okay, let's move on. Question two. For this, oh, I didn't tell you a joke. I have to tell you a joke. All right, hang on. I found one. Here's your joke. All right, so I was looking for beach jokes, and I found this one. This is dumb. What do you call a Frenchman who wears sandals?
I do not know.
Philippe Flop.
Boo.
What was yours going to be? Yours wasn't going
to
be any better.
Mine was really stupid. It was, what does a sheep wear to the beach?
What does a sheep wear to the beach?
A bikini.
It's just as bad. Oh, so my dumb. God. It's just as bad as mine.
It's like a Laffy Taffy joke.
It is a These are all Laffy Taffy jokes. All right. So let's move on. You're one for one. For this question, we're playing for whether or not we drive to Myrtle Beach. Now, we are in Sunset Beach. We're like right on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. Things are quieter up here and not as, what would you say, like hectic, not as...
Janky.
Janky is, speaking of dialect, is that a Pittsburgh word?
I don't know, is it?
No, I've heard janky other places.
An Allison word,
so,
maybe.
So I like to drive down to Myrtle Beach. Allison does not. I like the people.
It is good people watching.
Yeah, it's good people watching, which I enjoy.
Especially on the holidays.
Yeah, and it's not a holiday right now, but it's always crazy. And it's like run down. I like to look at like the tourism of yesteryear is what I call it. Like I had to just break up our dogs from, Mabel is the middle child and she's trying to play. So you'll hear her panting and grunting and growling and everything, trying to play with the other dogs. Okay, so anyway, if you get this question right, we don't have to go down to Myrtle Beach on this trip. But if you get it wrong, we'll take a trip down there.
Now, if I get it right, can I determine where we go?
We can go somewhere else. Yeah, where would you want to go?
I don't know. Seem like Wilmington, maybe.
Ooh, but I would like that too. So you need to think of a place that I don't want to go.
Like a punishment.
Yeah. So
all
like.
Right, well, then I'll just go to like a store you don't like.
A store that I don't like. Okay.
I'll spend a really long time at a store you don't like.
Yeah. So when we go to Callahan's for gifts,
I'll go to the Christmas section.
The Christmas section, yes, at Callahan's for a really long time. Okay, that's a good deal. We're there. Okay. Here is your question. Now, this is multiple choice. What was the original name of the Chesapeake Bay? Was it...
Why are we called Chesapeake Bay?
You said why are
they all Chesapeake Bay related?
Yes, you had said that off microphone. So the reason is this story takes place on islands that are in, that's where these islands where they speak this weird dialect are located. So
that's really weird to you.
I think it's weird in general. I mean, don't you think it's weird?
I think it's cool. Like I said, big fan of accents.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're from Pittsburgh where they do not speak English. What is the original name of the Chesapeake Bay? Is it A, the Great New England River, B, the Great Wide Waterway, or C, it's always been Chesapeake Bay?
Ooh, good one. I'm going to go with A for no reason at all because I know that's what you're going to ask me next.
The Great New England River?
Yeah.
The answer is C, it's always been the Chesapeake Bay since, and you know who found it? 1608, it was John Smith.
John Smith. Everybody knows John Smith.
Everyone knows John Smith. He first sailed into it in 1608. That's the Pocahontas guy, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think it is. I don't know.
History. Ooh.
Yeah, so...
I'm on vacation. Don't make me think.
John Smith first sailed into it in 1608. It's always been called Chesapeake Bay, which he labeled on a map in 1612. So we'll keep moving on. Actually, you got it wrong, so we get to go down to Myrtle Beach.
I had a feeling we were going anyway.
Maybe we'll go down there and play mini golf.
I'm okay if we don't.
Okay. If we do one thing when we're down there, what can we do?
I don't know.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
No. I like the aquarium.
The aquarium.
But it's so busy all the time.
The aquarium isn't down there, though. The aquarium is at Broadway at the beach.
Is that not Myrtle Beach?
No, that's not real Myrtle Beach. That's off of the...
I disagree with that statement.
Okay, that's fine. Question three, you're one and one. Question three, we are going horseback riding on the beach later this week.
Woohoo!
For this question...
Big fan.
If you get it right, I have to yell, "Hi-ho, Silver," like an idiot when we get on the horses. Okay? So if you get this one right, I have to do that. Man. All right? I think this is a punishment either way, because if I do that, I'll embarrass Allison, who is a horse rider, and I'll just embarrass the crap out of her. Okay, here you go.
It's called equestrian, but thank you.
Horse rider is what Allison is. There are almost 40 distinct dialects in the UK, almost varying from county to county. Some of them are clearly linked to their origin with their name, right? So the name of it, of the dialect, is where they're from. Like Scottish is from Scotland. Welsh is from...
Wales,
correct. Where would we find people speaking the dialect known as Brummie? A, Liverpool. B, Bath. Or C, Birmingham.
I'm going to go with C, Birmingham. Thank you, Cillian Murphy.
Who's Cillian Murphy?
Peaky Blinders.
Oh, is that the main dude in Peaky Blinders?
Yes, Thomas Shelby.
Okay, you are correct.
You don't say.
So I have to say "Hi-ho, Silver" like an idiot when I... when I become an equestrian on the horse. So a Brummie accent is notable because it's spoken in a monotone delivery in a low voice. That's how they speak in Birmingham. The I vowels have an oi sound to them, and the U vowels, like the word hut, like a short U or whatever, is made long, like hood. So they would say hoot instead of hut. And they would speak in a monotone. You can hear this, like you said, spoken in the Netflix series Peaky Blinders. That is Brummie that they're speaking. And I've noticed some other things that I didn't find, like when I was looking up about this accent. Like they start sentences, if a sentence starts with the word the, they say the. They pronounce all the thes the, like the horse or whatever. So, yeah.
Now I'm really going to have to pay attention next time we watch some Peaky
Blinders. I know, you're going to hear the Brummie accent. I've never heard it called Brummie in the series, though. They haven't said that.
I don't think that's really much of a plot line.
No, but I mean, it really is because when you think about all the different places that, you know, there's people from Ireland and people from like London all throughout the series.
Right.
So you would think that they would make that part of it. So let's move on. You are 2 for 3.
Woohoo!
Question 4. For this question, we're playing for whether or not we eat at Ponderosa Steakhouse when we go back home.
There are no Ponderosa Steakhouses.
There is one in South Columbus still.
Oh, jeez.
So if you get it wrong, I get to take you to Ponderosa.
But it's not your birthday.
No, not that's the whole point. So that means I might get to go twice in the next year. We haven't been since COVID.
I'm okay with that.
we sometimes go once a year because she asks me where I want to go eat. And I don't know what it is. It's nostalgia. I love eating at Ponderosa Steakhouse. I understand that it's gross. I understand that there's a reason.
The terms come with the meal.
Yeah, there's a reason that they're almost all out of business. But okay, so if you get it wrong, I get to take you to Ponderosa. Here's your question. There have been something like 24 distinct dialects identified in America. For instance, in Pittsburgh, there are phrases and words and pronunciations that aren't spoken anywhere else. One of these regional dialects is credited with the phrase, quote, I'm like and she's like when storytelling. So you'll be explaining to someone like something that you said or did. And instead of saying, and I said, get the car ready, you would say, and I'm like, get the car ready. Right. So you say like, I'm like or she's like or whatever. Which regional dialect invented this use of the language? Was it A, New York City? B, the South, like the Southern dialect, or C, Californian?
Californian.
Why do you think that?
Because I keep on thinking of that skit from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
The Californians?
The Californias. Yeah.
Three of
us. Ooh, what are you doing here? The answer. Are you sure it's not Southern, like someone saying like I'm like blah 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 or she's like blah blah blah?
I really want to be California.
You are correct. You're 3 for 4. Yes. It is Californians. According to linguists, this quotative part of speech is particularly useful because it does not require the quote to be of actual speech, as she said would. So if like you say she said blah blah blah, you have to be talking about something that she said. But you could say like I'm like I was like. And then shrug or sigh or any number of other expressive sounds. But, you know, it can mean speech. It can also mean like a thought, you know, like you could say like, I'm like, this person's crazy, you know, and it could just be something that you thought, which is very unique.
I just feel like it was like very like Valley Girl.
Yeah, it is. I think so, too. Like it's like it came from the Valley Girl. We were just talking about the Valley Girl song yesterday from Frank Zappa and his daughter. OK. I think it was Moon Unit, not Dweezil. I don't know. Question. Dweezil's a dude. Then yeah, it was Moon Unit. Sorry. Well, that's what you get. You know, if you have these names that don't have a particular gender attached to them, they're androgynous names. You don't know. Moon Unit could be anything. Question 5. This is your final question, and it's for all the marbles. If you get it wrong, I'm never asking you on this podcast again, even on vacation. I'll find a stranger on the beach if you get this wrong. Here's your question. It would be sad. Here's your question. What is the thing you are most looking forward to this week on vacation?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to have to say two things. One, spending time with my hubby. And two, riding on the beach.
Riding your horseback riding on the beach, Io Silver.
Io Silver. I'm especially looking forward to that part now.
Well, me too. You are correct. I'd be happy to have you back on the podcast anytime. Again, you went 4 for 5 today, which is outstanding. Pretty good. They weren't too hard, were they?
No, I enjoyed them. Thanks.
Okay, good. And they even brought in one of our favorite television shows, Peaky Blinders. And I'm sorry, we will not be visiting Tangier Island anytime soon, but we will be visiting Ponderosa. Oh, no, we won't get to go to Ponderosa.
I just spoiled that for you. Sorry. I
forgot about question 4.
Birthday.
Yes, we'll go in January. All right. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you so much to Sasha for the show topic and to my wife, Allison, for being my guest. Here's a kid who speaks in an accent similar to English.
Thank you for listening to The Internet Says It's True. To listen to episodes ad-free and a week early, support us on Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/Michael Kent. If you learned something just now that you didn't already know, go to the Apple Podcast app and leave us a review with 5 stars and a few words. That helps us a ton, because that's how the algorithm works. I don't know what an algorithm is, but just do it! See you next week for a brand new episode of The Internet Says It's True!
The Internet Says It's True would like to thank the Patreon subscribers whose monthly contributions help to make this show possible. Dallas Ray, Sean Brown, Bryce Swanson, Eugene Anderson, Matt McVeigh, Jim Martin, Joanne Martin, and the show's official Emperor Kick Track. The show is written and produced by me, Michael Kent. The theme song is by Finite Music Forge, and additional music this week was from Dan Leibowitz. All audio clips in this episode are used for education and commentary and used under Fair Use Title 17 USC Section 107. You can listen to past episodes by searching for The Internet Says It's True wherever you get your podcasts, and you can see bonus content at patreon.com/Michael Kent.